Morning, I want us to look at caring Christian love. Caring Christian love. For one thing, until you care, you won't love. Until you care, you won't love. You have to care about what is going on. You have to care about other people. You have to take care of other people. You have to take care of your family. You have to be ready and willing to care. As soon as you hear someone say, "I don't even care anymore," then whatever it is they're talking about, that's excluding love. You hear me? If you don't care, you're not going to love. But when you care, it's when you can pour your heart out into that love. God loves me. Amen. God loves each and every one of His creation. Amen. He said, "I created each of you as an individual. I've called each of you to a ministry. I've touched each of you, I've blessed each of you, and I want you to know that I care about you." Too many times, I've heard people that would tell me when I was in corrections, "Chaplain, I don't care what they do. Hey, you've got my son now." "Yes, ma'am, but he's 10 years old." "That's okay. You got him. You keep him. I don't care anymore." That has to be a miserable feeling for an individual. When all the care in you ceases to exist. "I just don't care about anything." You ever heard somebody say that? "I don't care." You will never ever hear, "I don't care," come from God concerning you. You will never hear, "I don't care," come from one who loves another. For that's what groups us together in love. Caring concern. Caring concern about each other. When I care, I get concerned. When I get concerned, I'm ready to help you bear. Caring leads to bearing. Bear what? Whatever. Whatever. But how can we as Christians not pay close attention to what our Savior did for us when He went to that cross because He cared for me? I didn't even exist. And God knew me before time began, and He cared for me. That's a lot of caring, isn't it? And He knew every one of us before. But then, when His creation began to exist, He expressed His care and His love by being ready and willing to bear. You have a burden, I'll bear your burden with you, because I care. To care means to love. Not to care means you don't have the love. Now you can say what you want about it. I'll say that about kale and broccoli. I don't care if you ever put it on the table. And I'm as serious as a heart attack when I said, "I don't care that you ever put it on the table. But I care about another human being. I care about God's creation. And I know somebody's going to let me know later on that God created kale and broccoli." Oh, yes. And we'll find out one day why. But he says to you and me, I want you to understand this. You and I need to get our hearts straight about, I'm not concerned at all about the situation an individual is in. But I am concerned about the individual in the situation. Let's get life straight. I'm so concerned of what is going on. Don't be. Be concerned about the individual. When you care about an individual and you express that loving, caring, bearing concern to that individual, you're expressing your Christian faith and that Christ indwells you, and you're letting them know that they're more important than whatever the situation is. People get really caught up in life and situations. Financial burdens, family burdens, heavy loads with personalities in families. That's heavy. It's a concern. And if I'm concerned, that means I love and I care. And if I love and I care, I am expressing the love of Christ that went to the cross for my fellow man. It was great having the kids here this past week for vacation Bible school. But now this year we had a tremendous number of children that had never been churched. And it was obvious some had never been in a church. Kids that needed to hear a word about Jesus. Those who know me know that's where my heart is. For those kids, they heard the story of Jesus all week long. Did they act right? They acted like kids that had never been in church. They acted like kids that had never heard the ministry of Jesus Christ taught to them. They acted like children loved by God. That's important. Because you see, Jesus was here all week. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God was present all week long. Oh, it was noisy. But not as noisy as you're going to hear the shout going on when we leave this body, Brother Randy. Woo, Randy, you were noisy getting up here to heaven. Because we are excited about going. Because I got a Savior right up there who loves me, and He indwells me right now. And He says, now I want you to tell them about my love. And I want you to tell them that if they care, they will bear one another's burdens just like I bore your burdens and continue to bear your burdens. It's easy to sit down with someone that's happy, everything going great. But it's difficult when we know someone who is hurting and we know just enough about the situation to realize, I don't think I need to have any part of that. Well, I got news for you. That's when you're needed. That's why God brings it to your mind. That's when you go and you just sit down beside that individual or in the presence of that individual, and you let them know by doing that, I care. You don't have to explain or attempt to explain what's going on, because you can't. You just need to care enough to be ready to bear your brother and sister's burdens. Help them carry them. I don't know how. It's called love. People can tell when you care, can't they? You can tell when somebody really cared and walk up to you, hey, Larry, how you getting along? See you later. Well, why didn't you wait and let me tell you how it's getting along? Because I didn't care. That's just was polite for me to say, how you doing? I don't really want to know how you're doing, Larry. I got my own problems. God says, I want to know. Because I see inside of you. And he often sees, we're not doing very well. We have a lot of brokenness, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. But I cannot bear a burden with someone else without Holy Spirit power within me. Amen. Listen to the scripture. John 16 verses 12 through 14. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you. But you cannot bear them now. Holy Spirit's coming. What I have to say to you, you're not going to be able to bear it. You're not going to understand it. And if you understood it, you couldn't bear the weight of what I'm getting ready to tell you. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, not part, all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Do you remember Jesus saying that he never spoke only what he heard from God the Father is all that would ever come from his mouth? And he will tell you things to come. Christian, you know the future. You know what's coming. You read it in God's book. Jesus warned you. He gives us a heads up on the things that are coming. And he says things are going to get rough. And you were sitting there thinking you already got it rough. Things are going to get real rough. But I'm going to give you a warning. Do you know that in the Holy Bible, that God gives us direction for every situation in our life? Why do you think Satan doesn't want us reading it? Why do you think that Satan allows the phoniness of life to pull us away from reading God's Word? Because in God's Word is what's around the next curve in your life. And Satan wants you to miss it. Jesus wants you to get it. And he tells the disciples, listen, boys, until you have my Spirit in you, you cannot bear the truth. Without the truth in you, you will never be able to bear truth. If you cannot bear truth, you cannot understand truth. If you cannot understand the truth, Satan will pick up on that and give you a lie and tell you and convince you that that lie is the truth. And then you follow it for a while, and pretty soon a lie becomes truth. And life has hit. But he said, you got to care. You have to care about what's going on. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. Now let me tell you the story of what we know as the Good Samaritan. Now the Samaritans were bitter enemies with the Jewish nation of Israel. Yet they were Jewish. What happened? Why were those from Samaria, why were they counted as such horrible people by the Jews? Why were they so looked down upon? Because they married the evil individual or the nations. They went into the nation and married idolaters. They intermarried where they were not, they were told not to do that. Do you realize something? And I'm sure you don't, if you hadn't studied it. There are 800 Samaritans left in existence today. Approximately 800 left that even exist today. All the Jewish nation was warned, do not intermingle with the idolaters. I don't care how beautiful the women are, how handsome the men are, do not intermingle. Do not separate from the faith. It was the faith that he was talking about. Don't you understand? Not the people. Those who do not follow Christ, you are not to marry with. Christian. Your pastor will not perform a wedding ceremony unless both are Christians. I will not do that. Because God says don't do it. I get in enough trouble marrying the ones that are and profess to be Christians. So what's your batting average on the marriages when it comes to that? I'm not keeping score. Thank you. But that's not my job. That's not my calling. Is it not for you as a parent to raise your children in the way they ought to be raised? Have you not noticed that your children go a little nuts ever so often? Go wild ever so often? Have you ever noticed they do some dumb things? And then have you would please take time and think back. Chip off the old block. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We did the same thing. It's the growing process. It's horrible. You talk about growing pains. Sometimes teenagers can be a pain. Sometimes kids will be a physical pain. They'll walk on your toes. They get older, they will step on your heart, right? Because you love. You care. You care what goes on with them. And we're overprotective. I'd much rather see a parent overprotective than not caring. Amen. They just don't care. God said, listen, you got to care. Even the unreest of human beings, to be called a Samaritan was to be called a despicable human being. But there are a lot of despicable human beings that aren't called despicable. Let's look at the story. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, always trying to trick him, always trying to make him mess up. See that a lot nowadays. Always trying to catch him in saying the wrong thing. What are the commandments? Jesus said, and love thy neighbor as thyself. But then the Pharisees said, who is my neighbor? Trying to trick Jesus. You know, for them to be as smart as they weren't too bright. Jesus wrote the book. Jesus spoke the words. Who is my neighbor? Luke 10, 30 through 35. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. In our day and age, we would say, wrong part of town. Don't be walking on that road. Bad road. Bad people are on that road. You're going to get mugged on that road. A Jewish man, this is not a Samaritan, a Jewish man, was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. He was laying on the road, beside the road, naked, beat half to death. By chance, a priest came along. Now, this happened to have been a cocky preacher, a priest, uppity, uppity one. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed on by. I don't want to get involved with this. That's the trouble today with pastors, preachers. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. Well, life hurts, and if your flock is hurting, then you are called by God to hurt right there with them. And you get in that ditch of life, I don't care how stinky it is. And you deal with it by helping them and showing them you care. A temple assistant, a deacon. At First Baptist, it's temple assistants, a deacon. Walked over. He didn't just get a glimpse. Listen to this. He walked over, looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. Ooh, look at that person. Naked, beat half to death, laying on the side of the road. Well, who would leave something like that alongside the road? And that deacon turned, walks on the other side, and walks away. That's what religion will do for you. That's exactly what religion will do for you. You see, caring means I have a relationship. Religion means I have a topic to speak on. And Christ deals in relationships. And his children are to deal in relationships. A caring concern. Verse 33. Then a despised Samaritan came along. I have to chuckle. I think of this one as a biker. He comes along. He pulls up. He saw the man. Well, he wasn't biking. He was on his donkey. He saw the man. He felt compassion for him. That's concern. He felt compassion for the man. He didn't care who this was. There was a man beat half to death left alongside the road. How many do we see today that life had beat them half to death and they're left alongside the road of life and everybody's walking around them? Because they don't want to get involved. Well, I could catch something from their blood tissue. I don't want to get involved. He felt compassion for him. Going over to him. It was obvious. Sitting on a donkey, he's looking down, and it's obvious how bad the situation is with this guy. He didn't check him out to see if he had the right tattoo, whether he is part of his gang, what color he was. He had compassion because he was down and nobody was helping him. He was caring about him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Why? That was his olive oil. That was his wine. I bet you the priest wasn't going to waste any wine on this guy. He going to sip it himself. And he walks on by. The deacon the very same way. But not this Samaritan who felt compassion. A caring concern for someone in the ditch of life broken. And everybody walking around. He bandaged him. Then he took him. Ooh. Picked him up bloody, beaten, sweaty, naked, and put him on his own donkey. Oh my. You put him in your car and you took care of him? Surely not. Well, you don't know what they might be carrying. Well, I was pretty sure he wasn't carrying anything because he's naked and he's bloody and he was hurting. Think of it. God looks at us and says, this is real life, people. Care about your neighbor, put him on his own donkey, and took the man to an inn. He gets there where he took care of him. He didn't take him to the hospital, push him off the donkey. He took him in and was taking care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, you take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. That's care. That's concern. No questions asked. When you're in the ditch of life, do you want people asking you questions? Well, why did you get down in here? Why, didn't you read in the scripture? You're not supposed to do that. If you do, you'll end up in a ditch of life. Or do you get down there asking no questions? Because you care. You have compassion. Where would I get that from? I get it from a Savior who saw me in the ditch of life. He didn't ask me how I got there. He didn't question being poor as dirt in my life. He didn't look at me and say, oh, Larry Pete, your clothes are torn. You're holding your britches up with a grass string. And you don't smell very good. You know what he did? He jumped right down in that ditch of life to a snotty-nosed kid. And he said, I call you to preach. Try that one on. Looking down at brokenness of a man and saying, I called you to preach when I first knew you. Now preach. But Lord, I just got out of the Marine Corps. I am a mess. Preach. You see, that's care. That's love. That's not looking at my faults, but seeing what the need is. Now you preach, and you preach the way I call you to preach. Lord, that ain't proper. Did you ever notice something about Jesus? The religious leaders say he ain't proper. And all the other people in the land who heard him, you know what they said? Ain't something different about him because he speaks with authority. You know what that authority was? God's holy word of love. Care, concern, compassion, reaching down, pulling up. I will never be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps. For one thing, if I bend over to do that, it's over. But I got a Savior who will lift me up. I'm having fun with this message. I have a Savior who looks down in that ditch. And do you know what he does every week, Brother Randy? Get up, stand up, preach. Lord, one of these days you're not going to have to pull me out. Yeah, Larry, I've been doing it since you were born. Reaching down, pulling you up. Well, you know something? That's what he's doing to each one of us. Today, when the day comes that you think you can do it on your own, is the very day you'll cease to preach the Word of God. For you can't. You can't do it. And we need each other's care. And we need each other's concern. We need each other's love. Just take me as I am, without one plea. I'm a mess, Lord. Yeah, Larry, you are. Do you know, one of these days that all of us messes are going to be in heaven together? Eating at the Lord's Supper table. Randy starts singing. Preacher will be able to sing then. We'll all join in a chorus, singing praises to a caring God who told us to care for whosoever is in that ditch. Don't you question where they come from. The only thing you need to know is, if they're there and you're there, I put it together. So shut up and get about my business. That's the Savior we serve. And that kind of love, it don't get better than that.